As we reach Holy Week, we are taught at ever deeper levels what is the real issue here. We just finished chapter 5. We skipped chapter 6 because that's all about the Eucharist. And we go to chapter 7. The Eucharist takes place on Passover. Now we're moving into tabernacles. And this will go from chapter 7 now down to chapter 10, verse about 21. The Feast of Tabernacles. What we have today is an uncovering of our malice. In the first account there, in the Book of Wisdom, they hate this just man because his life is a contradiction of theirs. And the only solution is to kill him. I'm sure as you hear these words, you remember how, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, these words are put on the mouth of those who are standing around the cross. He called himself God's Son. Let's see if he is God's Son. All those words. They're taken from here and they're put on the lips of those around the cross. Huh? Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes. Try to meditate a bit on this today, because it's very important for self-knowledge. The depth of malice. Let's kill him. And if we don't succeed, well then we know he's from God. And then what? Will you change? Will you honor God? Will you honor the one he sent? What would you do now? They know that God will not do anything extraordinary, dramatic, that he'll let his chosen one live in the world and be subject to the dynamics of the world. Then we move to chapter 7 in the Gospel. He didn't want to go up to Judea because they're trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, and his brothers said to him, part of the text left out, go on down there. I mean, why do your wonders up here in this hick part of the country where nobody's, you know, go on down there and make a splash. You got something to say? Go on down there and let everybody hear it. And he said, well, you go. I'm not going to go right now. So then he went secretly. But when he got there, he spoke openly. And again, the same thing. Yet I did not come on my own. But the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. He is my Father. I know him because I am from him. And he sent me. So they tried to arrest him. Why? Because, you see, holiness stirs up hatred. It stirs up envy. We're attached to our sins, and we don't want to get that close. A respectable amount of piety, perhaps, but not flat-out love for Jesus Christ. And this is why, as you see, now in Lent, we're being invited to that. I want to be just like you, Jesus. I want to love my enemies. I want to love everybody. And I want myself and everyone else to fulfill the Father's plan. That's the intro to this. We're going to have some very violent arguments between the Jews, meaning the theologians, the leaders of the Jews, and Jesus. in which he will give them a chance to grasp who he is and to come to that knowledge, you see. What does it say then about us? The secret is repentance, real sorrow for sin. But that is a grace. I can be embarrassed about my sin, but to be sorry means that I'm moved by the Holy Spirit and I love Jesus and I am sorry for having offended. That's a great grace, isn't it? The summit of that grace, perhaps, is the gift of tears, which is, by the way, a charismatic gift. It's a gift to pray, to weep over your sins. Now, that's not a big emotional binge. That's a spiritual piercing of our hearts. It's compunction. Huh? Compunction comes from compungere, to pierce. It's like the lance of oil. It's compunction. That's a gift. Let out all the anger, the self-centeredness, the sensuality, the pride, the stupidity. Let it all go out. So we can offer the Lord a pure heart. And so today's the day when we're, as I say, we're getting ready now to enter into the last part of this confrontation, understanding what are the issues. Huh? So how do we get this gift of compunction? We pray for it. You know, I think I've mentioned this before. In the old missal, the old Latin missal we used to have, you know, before we got all upgraded, there was a prayer in the back of that missal for the gift of tears. And it started off, Lord, you can get water out of a stone. Therefore, bring water out of my eyes. Give me the gift of weeping. Saint Simeon, the new theologian, and the theologian of baptism in the Spirit, he lived about the year 1000, he said, to prepare ourselves for this grace, the Holy Spirit will give us sorrow for sin. First, our hearts must be washed clean by tears. Then we're ready for this grace. Because it will be the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into the presence of the Father, where we will praise Him even in this life, where we'll do miracles, where we'll even die of martyrdom if He wants us to. You see, that's all like hidden in the text we have today. It's this text of Jesus going down there to be confronted, you see, as the people celebrate the memory of God leading them through the desert, which is what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. You see, Jesus finally comes and says at one point, finally, on the last and greatest day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me. Let him drink, the one who believes in me. For as Scripture says, out of his midst shall flow waters, streams of living water. Out of whose midst? Jesus' midst. That's the meaning. When that lance pierced his side and there flowed out blood and water, just as he prophesied. And that will happen to us if we take this invitation to repentance seriously. And that means to pray for this gift. You know, it's the gift well described, for instance, in Anne's books, is to see ourselves as we really are. And that's not a pretty sight. But to see it with the eyes of Jesus' mercy. And then there is our tears of relief and sorrow. I've got it now. You know, there's nothing, I hit the bottom. There's nothing worse than this. And it's forgiven. It's accepted by the mercy, the love of Jesus Christ for me. I see it in his eyes. And then I weep. And so, that's what they have, the beginning of this text today. You see, this righteous man. They want to kill him because his way of life, his reality, is an affront. And he's saying, I forgive you.